This podcast is sponsored by Freedom Mortgage, dedicated to veterans and your homeownership needs. Visit freedommortgage.com/CBSVets. NMLS 2767. Equal housing lender.
What's up? I'm Matt Simpson.
I am a beer nerd.
Gooseberry, pumpernickels. I have a love-hate relationship with IPA. Crushable, very chuggable. What kind of hops do you have in this one? When I taste it, it tastes crisp. Is there a dog tag that's in there? Now let's go ahead and share the love with the other staff who are looking at us, drinking all this beer, wishing they could do it. Hi. So, since this is my first podcast of this type, I figure I'd introduce myself. I am a beer nerd, and I wear that title proudly. I love this stuff. So much, in fact, that I've somehow persuaded the powers that be here at Connecting Vets to allow me to produce a series of podcasts where I will highlight a different veteran-owned or military-themed brewery each week. And my first guest doesn't disappoint. Dave Keener is co-founder and partner of Honor Brewing Company and Honor Winery, located in Chantilly, Virginia. And as the name suggests, the two companies pay homage to veterans who have paid the ultimate sacrifice, as well as their family members. We go into Dave's incredible story of how he found himself owning both a winery and a brewery, the people he honors, and the connections he's made. And of course, we taste some of the beer. So without further delay, I give you Dave Keener of Honor Brewing and Honor Winery. Dave, welcome to Connecting Vets and our first ever beer podcast. Tell us a little about your companies and how they got started.
I guess probably the best way to sum it up is where it all started and why. My whole family, my business partner, Alan Cage, was retired active duty. Ironically, as an aviator, just like my father, but my whole family, 75 plus years of service to our country, the last being my father, which was two tours in Vietnam, in Special Forces and as a Huey helicopter pilot.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, it was one of those things that we just looked at it, you know, after 9/11 happened. I'm from this area. 9/11, I was actually supposed to be on the plane that ended up in the Pentagon.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Oh, my gosh.
But we had started a new company down in Alexandria, and we were a brand new company, and honestly, we didn't have the money to be able to spend, so I actually took a Southwest flight out of BWI that connects to Nashville to L.A.
Yeah.
My last company was a hospitality-related company, and I was going out to visit with California Pizza Kitchen, and I guess you could say fortunate, lucky, someone's looking above. I had changed my flight because I couldn't see in my mind spending $500 to take a direct flight to L.A. where I could jump on a Southwest flight for a couple $100. And when the first plane hit, my wife at the time was sitting on the GW Parkway, pregnant with my son, who my son will be 16 years old on February 15th.
Yeah.
And I got stuck. We were in midair. The flight was circling around, and we've all heard these stories.
Sure.
And it was either we were going to go to Memphis, Little Rock, or Nashville. We ended up landing in Nashville. I was stuck there for 5 days.
Yeah. Not in there. So the 9/11, of course, happened in 2001.
Yes.
You
yes.
were supposed to be on the plane that ended up crashing into the Pentagon.
But I changed my flight.
But then you changed the flight because it was cheaper.
Yep.
So like that almost like Chancer, just being a little shrewd, frugal, maybe.
Well, it's entrepreneur life, right?
Yeah, sure.
Like, okay, so you're going, I have this pot of money to build my company. Am I going to throw it towards a flight or, okay, I would love to have a direct flight, but no,
right.
I'm going to have to connect. And,
right.
and Southwest being the less expensive option.
Sure.
And if we all remember during that time, we couldn't talk. Cell phones wouldn't work.
Yeah.
So my mom, my office, my wife, nobody knew where I was.
God.
But everybody knew. And the plane that ended up in the Pentagon was going to L.A.
Right.
I was going to L.A. So everybody's like, what's going on? Where is he?
Did you tell your wife you were able to change your flight?
No.
So you've kind of cheated death on 9/11, and that was when you were in the restaurant industry. So you kind of had this food, restaurant, hospitality background, and that eventually led you to meet Alan Cage, your current business partner, who is also, who has actually a Army veteran himself, and he flew helicopters for 26 years. And together, you guys started, well, you launched the first vintage of Honor Winery in 2010 and the brewery in 2015. And so talk to me a little bit about the people you've met, some of these families. The
biggest thing, again, is to me, I think it's like when we eat, we drink, we smile, and we have a good time. You know, it's we can't change anything that's happened. I've been very blessed over the last, you know, few years now to be able to meet many Gold Star families, many wounded warriors. And, you know, and there was a mom that pulled me aside about a couple of years ago. And she said one thing to me that has stuck with me ever since. And she's like, Dave, you can't help everybody, but you can help some people.
Yeah.
And it was, and that was over a glass of wine.
What kind of wine? Do you remember?
Pinot Noir.
Pinot Noir.
Russian River Valley. Okay. Absolutely.
Yeah. Nice light red.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Well, and probably for me personally, probably my favorite varietal just because it goes pretty much with everything.
I enjoy that I like Pinot Noir. I mean, admittedly, I'm more of a beer guy when but I'm an equal opportunity drinker, right. My friend, right?
Right.
So I definitely enjoy Pinot Noir. I find that it pairs well with Asian food.
Yep.
Korean food is that the spiciness, it kind of holds up. But the Pinot Noir, usually it's a little lighter, and so it doesn't kind of overtake any flavors, but it complements them, what I think.
If it's 90 degrees outside, you can still drink Pinot Noir. It's
right.
Not super heavy. You're not drinking this big, high alcohol, you know, grape.
And so wine, beer, but you also have a mission. Talk to me a little bit about what sets Honor Winery and Brewery apart.
You know, for me, it's one of those things that, you know, I lost my father when I was 6 years old.
After he served in Vietnam.
He had actually come back home.
Oh, okay.
And he was killed in an accident. But, you know, having talked to my mother for many years, my father had his own challenges.
Sure.
You know, there's over 55,000 men that were killed in Vietnam.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and being a Huey helicopter pilot.
Didn't have a great chance of coming back to begin with.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
And so he had his own challenges, you know, and it was, and then after 9/11, you know, seeing you guys all deploying and being able to go, and I think a lot of people don't realize now, even it's when you think about it, is you raised your hand to do this.
Yeah.
You wrote a blank check for your life to be able to go and serve. A lot of people, my dad was going to Virginia Tech and decided he didn't want to go to school anymore, and they were like, okay, right with us.
Oh, God.
And so, you know, he was drafted. But now I say men, women, and families today sign up.
Absolutely.
And it's a part that I think people sometimes fail to forget that these men and women and families are literally raising their hand to say, yeah, I'll go do it. And I think if my memory's right, I want to say it was 2009, 2010, they said the worst job in America was that of an American soldier. The worst. Now, I've seen dirty jobs. There's some bad jobs out there.
Yeah.
But I understand why they came up with that result of, you know, you're put in harm's way, you make low pay, you're away from your family. I totally get it. But the worst job in America, I don't know if you would have ever asked my father or my grandfather or my great-grandfather, would it be the worst job that they ever had? Probably not.
I mean, that just reminds me of, you know, John Kelly, the White House Chief of Staff, who's a four-star Marine general, retired. He said on multiple occasions on the record, in fact, I think from the podium at the White House, he said, the best job I ever had was a sergeant in the Marine Corps, you know, and this guy, like, he's one of the very few people that you can say is actually running the country.
Right.
And he
right.
says, that my best job was being a team leader when I was an E5 in the United States Marine Corps. I think that definitely says something. I don't know who made the list in 2009 for the worst job in America, but I can tell you it was someone that was never in the military. You have this brewery, you've met all these people, and explain to me what's on that six pack right there.
I mean, I've got a very dear friend, and hopefully I'll see her soon in Texas. Her son, Corporal Philip McKeith, was killed, and he was a part of the 3/8 out of in Afghanistan. Well, his little brother just graduated from boot camp.
Oh, wow.
She's got three Marines now. She's got one that's gone and three other that are in uniform right now.
Wow.
And so I look at her and I'm like, Phyllis, how do you do this?
Yeah.
Like you're sending your other sons You know, and the other sons want to go do it,
yeah.
And they're obviously doing it for their country, but they're doing it in honor of their brother.
They're honoring their name, they're honoring their fallen
Absolutely.
Brother and their brother in arms.
Absolutely, yeah. That's exactly right. And it's stuff like that to me that, you know, again, sort of, I guess you could say, empowered us a little bit when we knew that it was going to be called honor. You know, we take that word very seriously. At every sort of touch point humanly possible, it's always about honor. It's like, what does that mean to us? You know, because every six-pack carrier, as an example, is dedicated to somebody. The families write the stories themselves.
Can I see this?
Of course.
So I'm just going to go ahead and read a little bit from this if I can. This is Specialist Stephen Mace, United States Army, April 11th, 1988 to October 3rd, 2009. And the family wrote this?
Yes.
So I'll just read a little bit of it. It says, our family is originally from Purcellville, Virginia. Stephen was killed at Cap Keating, an outpost in Nursan Province, which is in Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. Their outpost of 53 soldiers was attacked by 400 Taliban. Sadly, we lost 8 that day. Stephen was one of those people that everybody wanted to know and be like. He was known for his good looks and great sense of humor. Well, you know, Stephen and I had something in common, right? Stephen had a big heart, and no matter what, always did what was right. He died at the age of 21, but probably did more and was loved by more people than most of us will in a lifetime. And that is just a part of this long message. And is each individual six-pack a different story?
Yeah, so our Golden Ale and our IPA, every single one of them is dedicated to somebody. And we tell the families that's their canvas. They can write whatever they want. So we have funny stories, we have sad stories, we have, you know, and that's the part that it's not my job, it's to say what should be on there. It's they're allowing our company and giving us permission to be an extension of them.
And you're not just honoring the fallen on your packaging, it's also on your tap handles too, and that's a heavy duty tap handle you have there. Is it a dog tag that's in there?
And we received a patent on this tap handle a couple years ago, and it slides a custom set of dog tags into the handle. Their son was the first person that we put on tap in Georgia. A lot of times, you got to remember, these families all come to us from all over the country.
Yeah.
And in most cases, when we go into a new market, we get to have the pleasure of meeting them.
This, the honor, some would say.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when we put Gene up on tap in Georgia, his mom and dad, I said, well, it's going to be in Atlanta. And they were like, no problem. Well, they drove 5 hours to just come to the tap launch of their son and to meet me. For me to have that honor to be able to meet them and for them to be able to tell me the story about their son and why did he do it? Well, you know, he's a hardcore. I was pulling for him. I said Gene had us on the Georgia Bulldogs the other night. I was pulling for him hardcore. But, you know, it's for them to be able to share their story or share their loved one with us. You know, we take that very seriously on how we're able to continue to tell their stories. And it was quite ironic when we go in, launch a new distributor in a new state, you know, we go in and tell the sales team who we are, what we do, our product. And Mrs. Lammy asked me if she could be a speaker at that meeting. And it was the first time ever that a parent has said, hey, can I come with you to that event? And I'm like,
a Gold Star mother.
Yeah. I said, you want to go to a sales meeting? She's like, yes, they need to understand why honor.
As someone that has sat in sales meetings before, I can say that it's usually something that people don't line up for, right?
Correct.
So but she was doing it to speak on behalf of her son.
On behalf of her son. Yeah. And for her to be able to tell her story, you know, and she said something that day still that has stayed with me, is that, you know, the worst thing wasn't that she lost her son. And I'm thinking in my mind, I couldn't imagine losing my son. I couldn't imagine losing my daughter. I don't understand, you know, where she was going with this. And she says, the worst thing is that my son will be forgotten.
Wow.
And she says, so you guys are helping me and helping others not forget my son.
Yeah.
And that has stuck with me since that day, nearly almost 2 years ago in Georgia.
Wow! So this is incredible. Like you are definitely fostering, cultivating, creating a community with your product, but you're doing it in a way that honors fallen warfighters.
Yep.
May I see that tap handle real
quick? Of course.
And now this one has Sergeant First Class Jonathan K. Is it Dozier?
Dozier.
Dozier. Date of birth, September 30th, 1977. Rest in peace, January 9th, 2008.
10 years ago yesterday.
U.S. Army HUA. 10 years ago yesterday. Yeah, yep. That's right. And so this is for family members and loved ones and friends to be able to go and visit, right?
Go and visit. Go raise a glass. And this is what this is all about. Raise a glass. These are men and women that have served.
Yeah.
So what we do is we call this a tribute tap. And again, the biggest thing that I tell a restaurant or a bar, or I tell a sales team at a distributor, is that for us, this isn't a tap handle. This is somebody that gave their life or someone that has served their country. And we take it incredibly seriously to the point where when we put someone's dog tags inside of this handle, you know, we want the families to know where their loved one is.
No, for sure. For sure. For sure. Well, you did bring some beer. I see you have one in your hand there.
I do. Yeah, this is a pretty special can.
Okay.
This is our IPA, but this is a can series we call Faces of Honor. These are all holograms of men that have given their lives for our country. And so the families come back to me and we tell them to give us whatever picture they want that is going to best portray their loved one. So there are a collection you'll see of little boys' faces on there. And these are guys that were former Navy SEALs, you know, and you got some, all these men all gave their lives for our country.
Mm-hmm.
So we have four beers, like I said, that we make today. Our goal with our beers, and I brought both bottles and cans for you, but
okay.
But what we've done here is our very first beer that we opened, and I'll probably go sort of lightest to heaviest, if you will, but
okay.
Our very first beer that we launched was our Golden Ale. And I'll be honest with you, the whole purpose of this beer was, I joke in our world, I call it beginner's craft beer.
Yeah.
Not everybody is into the hoppy IPA world.
Sure. Into the crazy flavors.
Exactly.
Yeah, and all the, or, you know, this gooseberry pumpernickels. I'm an equal opportunity drinker, like
right.
I said. But a golden ale, like you said, is for someone who wants to drink a craft beer, but it's a little more approachable.
Absolutely.
It's very light, similar to almost a Pilsner style.
Absolutely.
A lot of Bavarian Pilsners that come out.
Bingo.
Golden ales are very, very approachable in that.
That's exactly right.
Very crushable, very chuggable.
There you go. Those are words spoken by our brewer, Joe Perococo. It's the crushable, slammable, you know, easy drinking beer. It's not going to kill your palate. I mean, we're talking just under 5%, you know, ABV on this beer.
Okay, so it's got staying power.
Exactly.
Fishing, hunting.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right, let's give it a... Thank you so much. Let's give it a whirl here.
So we'll do this beer, cans, bottles, and kegs. But again, you know, I looked at this beer of when we first launched our very first beer.
It's good.
You know, again, easy drinking, let's hang out beer.
Yeah.
Something that if you went into a bar or you just wanted to say, hey, I just need to pick up an easy six-pack for today, this beer is there. It's also for that beer drinker that still might not be too much into craft beer just
yet.
We want to try to
reel them in slowly.
Reel them on.
You can't scare them with all the crazy maple flavored stuff right up front.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. And it's like, let's just sort of take an easy approach to this and enjoy.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so that's the part that we wanted to, and I think we've been able to accomplish that with this beer.
Yeah. It's, like I said, it smells like a Pilsner. It smells fresh.
Mm-hmm.
When I taste it, it tastes crisp. And then it has a slight lingering sweetness that I'm guessing comes from the malt.
Yes, correct.
Okay.
And it has that almost yeasty, bready sort of, you know, but it's not, it's not super heavy whatsoever. I mean, we're talking, I think, 15 IBUs, so not going to be super hoppy whatsoever.
Now, IBUs, of course, are the International Bittering Units,
right.
Which, I mean, so for me, when I first learned about IBUs, when I took a chemistry class in college, I was very skeptical that this could even be a standard unit of measurement. But it basically, the higher the number, the more hoppy or more bitter you can expect.
Right.
And so at 17 IBUs, as you say, is on the very low end. So almost not hoppy at all, I would say. Like you said, very crushable. I would pair
Absolutely.
It with pizza on a Friday night. Already off to a strong start, but what's next on deck?
The next one I'm going to give you is our cherry wheat.
Okay.
So, the main goal of this beer, we did a survey just a little over 2 years ago, and we asked one question to 20,000 people. do you know what a Gold Star family is?
Okay.
How many people do you think out of 20,000 people could answer the question?
Was it a national survey? Now I'm getting into methodology.
Yeah, no. It was
500, maybe.
Yeah, it was less than 2%.
Less than 2%.
Could answer what a Gold Star family was.
Wow.
So the Cherry Wheat program was, the whole package was built to be able to explain and educate what a Gold Star family is.
The name Gold Star really refers to a tradition and custom of a flag. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. And this is the cherry wheat.
That's the cherry wheat.
I'll go ahead and I'll try to talk and pour at the same time.
Yeah,
if I can do that. So it comes with the custom of family members that have a service member that is serving would fly mm-hmm. either display a flag somehow on their house or their property of a star. And mm-hmm. the colors correspond to different things. A blue star would mean that a service member, either a son or daughter, mm-hmm. or any other family member, really, is currently serving on active duty or serving in some capacity.
Correct.
Now, a gold star means that service member has died on duties.
That's
somehow.
Correct.
And so when we talk about a gold star family, gold star mother, gold star son, such as yourself, mm-hmm. we're talking about people that... lost their loved ones while they were serving in some capacity.
Right. So basically, yes, it's like the unfortunate is when that blue turns to gold.
Yeah. And that's a story behind it. Tell me about the beer.
The cherry wheat, you know, the biggest thing that we wanted to do is we wanted to have a beer that, again, approachable, easy drinking. One of the things that I was really insanely concerned about this particular beer when our brewer Joe was making it.
Oh, it's good.
I often refer to it as the rosé of beer.
Okay.
It has that little pinkish color, if you will.
Yeah.
But it's a mix of sweet and tart cherry.
Yeah.
But you can tell on your palate that it's not a sweet beer whatsoever.
It's not.
It has like what I call a tiny kiss of cherry.
Okay. It's got some tartness, I would say. Yeah.
A little bit of tartness, but not very sweet whatsoever. There are, again, I think sometimes where there's too much fruit in a beer. It almost becomes medicinal in some ways because
cherry can easily do that.
Easily.
Because it has to do with, you know, drinking like cherry cough syrup growing up as a kid, right? Mm-hmm. So it definitely, cherry can have that medicinal feel. Where do you get your cherries from?
So Oregon and Washington State. That's where everything comes from. So
your hops too come from Oregon, Washington State?
A little bit of all over the place as well. But predominantly out in the West. Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely.
Cool. So yeah, it definitely, I was expecting it to smell sweeter than mm-hmm. it is. And it definitely, it does not, it almost has maybe marginal sweetness, I would say, but it's got a great tartness.
Yeah, the tartness is, yeah, exactly right.
This is 100% a summer beer, spring or summer.
Absolutely.
You're out fishing.
Well, and it's funny too, because originally this was only supposed to be a seasonal beer. But now that we're distributed in warm climates, Florida, Arizona, things of that nature, we actually now make this beer all year round.
Okay.
Is really those areas have dictated it, that there are those out there with their palates that, you know, don't want something that's still, again, they want something easy, approachable, and, you know, and so be it. I mean,
yeah.
Who are we to tell them they can't?
And it really does. I'm afraid that a lot of people wouldn't want to try this just because it has the word cherry wheat in it. But let me dispel all those right now. It's pretty. It is very good, and it is. It's not overly sweet, despite that. I do detect. I mean, it's a wheat beer, so it's the malted wheat is going to maybe push it to the sweeter side. But I think you struck the balance perfectly, if I may say. All right, next up, looks like you got an IPA right there. Very popular in the United States. In the past decade, maybe 15 years, IPA has just blown up.
Exploded.
It has exploded. And I have a love-hate relationship with IPA, being that as I've gotten older and as, you know, my palate has matured.
Of course.
I think the first craft beer I had was, I can't even remember the brewery. And it's a good thing because I'm sure they wouldn't want me talking bad about it. But I tried an IPA, and for me, it just tastes medicinal. It tasted like aspirin. It tasted terrible. And I was like, that is not fit to drink. But only because I had an incredibly super hoppy IPA. Yeah. Now I've kind of calmed down, and I'm able to appreciate the bitterness for what it is. And to, you know, it is a style on its own, and it is, like I said, very popular. What kind of hops you have in this one?
So this is, they call Anthem Nugget, and we also do have a Warrior hop.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So Nugget hops, I know this one specifically. If you're a hop head, if you just love the bitterness, and beer can't be more bitter Nugget's one of the hops you should be looking for.
Right.
If you're on the East Coast, I'm talking about breweries like Tregg's has the Nugget Nectar. If you're on the West Coast, Green Flash, I believe, their Imperial IPA has a shit ton of Nuggets in there. So I'm drinking, so I'm a little loose in the language.
Well,
now.
And that's it, right?
But it's okay. That's what
that's
happens,
all right.
Right?
That's all right. You're airborne, so it's okay.
101st, I was in the 101st Airborne, right? So, let me go ahead and smell it. Smells like a great IPA.
You know, the biggest thing that I think that you're going to find on this is that while it is 6.8% ABV...
It'll get you where you're trying to go.
And absolutely. And it's 65 IBUs. It sort of runs in that middle-of-the-road hoppiness.
Yeah.
So your bitterness is not, like, going to completely kill your palate here. I also equate it to, it's like, we're not eating a pine cone right now. It's
right.
Like, it's sort of
not
chill.
Super resiny.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's the big thing that I think, again... We're gonna be introducing a double IPA come the springtime.
Love double IPAs.
And yet, you know, it's one of these things that we have to still, you have to have that balance of keeping things in check where not super hoppy, you know, we can have a couple of them and we're not going to fall over.
It's a great IPA.
Thank you.
It's not overly bitter. When I first smell it, I don't smell, I just smell freshness, really.
Mm-hmm.
When I taste it, it's not immediately bitter, but it has a lingering bitterness, I would say. Mm-hmm. But one that's welcome. You know, I like drinking IPAs with Indian food only because I love food. For me, can't be spicy enough.
Really?
And when I eat spicy Mexican food or spicy Indian food, I like to have a beer that has a little bite, a little bitter,
right?
Because it kind of stands up to the peppers. Personally,
right?
Everyone's different, but
of course,
it's just the color is nice. It's almost like a little burnt orange, like a sunset. Mm-hmm. Really,
yeah. You'd well, expect it's from an our IPA. Basically this is our number one seller, which is probably not a surprise.
Yeah,
you know, I think right now the last statistic I read is 25 to 30% of every type of craft beer sold today is an IPA.
Yeah, it's incredibly popular.
It's just, you know, it's gone through the roof.
If you're
not making an IPA,
if you're losing money, if you're a brewery that's not making an IPA, you are losing money.
Right,
100%.
Exactly.
Cool.
So again, bottles, cans, kegs,
is your flagship.
Yeah, that's our flagship.
Okay. Do you dry hop at all with this IPA?
We do.
Okay, for those who don't know, dry hopping is a procedure that I find that I like IPAs that are dry hopped because it imparts the flavor of the hop without really imparting the bitterness.
Mm-hmm.
Due to the magic of chemistry that I really don't know,
right.
Sure your brewer would be able to talk to me all about it. But you know, if you want to try an IPA but you're not super too keen on the bitterness,
that's actually perfect way to say it.
Find a dry, look for a dry hop.
Right. I always tell people, I'm going, humor me, just try it. You still might not like it.
Right.
You know, because you don't like that hoppy.
Right.
But I'm like, humor me, because a lot of people are going, oh, it wasn't that bad.
Right.
I'm like, yeah, that's fine.
And if you are one of these hop heads, this is still, it has a lingering hop, hoppiness
it's
to it.
There.
And it's very good.
Yeah. It's still there.
So awesome.
So in the last but not least is, this is our maple porter. Now, one of the things you're going to find with the maple porter,
the night vision, that's super cool.
Yeah, is that it's going to be a light to medium style porter. Everybody mentally, I think they think of, people kept asking us to make a dark beer.
Okay,
and it was really sort of driving us crazy about what we wanted to make because I also didn't want us to make a dark beer that was only available in the fall and the winter.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, it's like we talked earlier about Pinot Noir. If it's 90 degrees outside, I'm happy to have a glass of Pinot.
Right.
But there are so many people that appreciate and love a darker beer. So this particular porter, we released it not long ago, but the whole idea of this porter was to have a light to medium style porter that you could actually drink all year round.
Okay.
Because a lot of times you'll have some porters that are a lot, you know, they're a lot more robust, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas you're going to find this one's not. It's a little bit of a mix of chocolate, grade A maple syrup, mm-hmm. vanilla, tiny touch of cinnamon. That's sort of like one of the little flyers that we threw in there. But you're going to find, I think, that if you're a coffee drinker,
I am.
I'll say this is not your dark roast coffee. This is your sort of medium roast coffee, if you will.
On the nose, I definitely get coffee. I get earthiness.
Right.
I get little roasted, like almost dark chocolate notes.
Yeah. And the thing is with this particular beer, too, while it is a maple porter, there's just a tiny, again, it's almost like going back to the cherry wheat. There's only a tiny touch of maple. It's not going to be overbearing at all. What we didn't want you, I didn't want you eating your pancakes and your French toast inside of our beer. and that's just sort of.
You just combined my second favorite thing with my third favorite thing, pancakes and beer. Your beer's amazing.
Thank you.
Thank you. The story. story is great. How can people find Honor Brewing? Are you online?
Yeah. So you can just go to honorbrewing.com. We will be opening our tap house. We'll be opening to the public. We're praying, as long as everything in Fairfax County permits and all that fun stuff, but we hope by the middle of the year. So we'll have a cool tap house there that people can come and visit us in Chantilly. We'll have at any given time roughly 15 beers on tap.
15 beers. Sounds like a good start.
Thank you.
We really appreciate you coming in. You're on Twitter. You're on Instagram.
We're on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. You can, on our website, you can also find, there's a little category there called Find Beer. Zip code search, all that good stuff. If you have any challenges or your listeners have any challenges, they can always just email us. We're very active. We respond very quickly on all channels.
I can confirm.
So it's, you know, I just, we're big believers that customer service is key.
Yeah.
You know, and we like to talk to people. You know, it's, we were communicating last night with a guy that just, you know, went and it was, yesterday was National Law Enforcement Day.
Yeah, that's right.
And a guy takes a picture showing a can of Honor in his hand, and we were like, cool, man. You know, thank you.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we sent him out a shirt this morning. You know, it's just cool people out there that I think they get it.
Yeah.
They know what the word honor means, and I think that's the important part to us.
Honor Brewing Company and Honor Winery, Dave Keener, co-founder and partner. Thank you so much for taking the time today.
Ooh, my pleasure. It.
Now let's go ahead and share the love with the other staff who are looking at us, drinking all this beer, wishing they could do it.
Right.
Thanks
on.
A lot.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for listening. And if you like what you heard, and if you're a veteran-owned brewery or have some military connection, I'd love to get you on the podcast. You can find me on Twitter, Matt B. Saintsing. Or email me, tell me all about yourself, at matt@connectingvets.com. Until then, cheers.